Security Radar 2025, 12th June 2026. By Melanie Clark. Based on a mighty survey of 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. Security Radar 2025, expert predictions for the year ahead. The Security Radar 2025 will support your organization as it navigates the challenges in an ever-evolving security landscape. Featuring insight from experts across the industry and data from 100 security leaders across the UK, the Security Radar provides 7 key priorities for the year ahead. Predictions, contributors. Forward. Collaboration will reshape the future of security, with momentum for that will continue to build. Last year was a year of foundations. Rising retail crime and high-profile incidents sharpened awareness of risks organizations face and the importance of resilience to their security response. Legislation, such as the Worker Protection Act and the Terrorism Protection of Premises Act 2025, commonly referred to as Martin's Law, have brought security into sharper focus at board level. The industry also began to show that it could do more than respond, it could lead. That groundwork has set the stage for the next 12 months. This year feels different. Momentum is building. Government, policing, and private security are more aligned than ever before. Moreover, more state agencies recognize that collaboration is no longer a choice, but a necessity. New initiatives, such as Project Pegasus, have demonstrated how intelligence sharing tackles prolific offenders. As well as targeted collaborative initiatives, the CEOs of leading security firms are now working together to set higher standards. And new laws, like Martin's Law, are raising the bar for every organization, placing prevention and preparedness at the heart of security. For organizations procuring security, these changes matter. The officers on your sites are part of a sector that is professionalizing at pace, better trained, better connected, and better equipped to protect your people, assets, and reputation. What once felt like a fragmented industry is beginning to speak with one voice, benefiting you, your customers, and the wider public. Challenges remain. The security sector must address its image, overcome fragmentation, and present clearer evidence of value. But the direction of travel is clear. Security is no longer a support service working in the background. It is a trusted partner in enabling safer communities and more resilient organizations. The next 12 months is the time to convert momentum into measurable change through enhanced collaboration. The opportunity is here to elevate standards, to build stronger partnerships, to present a more coordinated sector to government, and to show that the true value of security is as much about enhancing customer value as it is about keeping people safe. In brief, collaboration. Government, policing, private security, and the wider private sector uniting around safer communities. Legislation. New duties under Martin's Law and the Worker Protection Act, raising expectations and tightening requirements. Professionalization. Employer leadership, a clearer single voice, and stronger engagement with one. Security strategy. The next 12 months will see more collaboration and interoperability to deliver better public safety. In 2024's Security Radar, MITIE's Jason Towse said the security industry of tomorrow would be more collaborative, professional, and technology-led. That still stands. What's changed in the last 12 months, however, is the focus, context, and accountability. We, UK government, have moved the Security Industry Authority, SIA, into the Homeland Security Group, Home Office. Regulation of officers, licenses, and the venue obligations under Martin's Law now sit under one minister and one protective security conversation, rather than in silos. That's not admin tidying, it's intent. It raises the bar on standards and puts public safety at the top of the agenda. There is more work out there, more venues, more events, but parts of the sector still carry malpractice, training shortcuts, tax issues, and a mindset where cost trumps everything. That has to change if we want the SIA badge to mean something for the public, a visible haven for safety that people can trust. Licensing the right people, doing proper checks, and improving training quality are all vital for safer communities. My focus for the next 12 months, public safety as the North Star. If an initiative doesn't make the public safer, it's noise. That is how I judge policy and how organizations should judge propositions. The Minister, Dan Jarvis, has tasked the SIA to tackle malpractice, from poor training to weak checks and business licensing, so the license signals trust and competence. The regulator shift enables alignment of venue duties and officer standards to achieve the government's goal of better public safety. Collaboration with one voice. Competition is healthy. Fragmentation isn't. Aviation and defense show you can compete commercially, yet present a single credible voice to government. I expect the security sector to organize itself accordingly and for buyers to lean in. The apprenticeship levy is underused. Collaboration is how we turn levy cash into real skills and career pathways. Quality over quantity when it comes to professionalism and skills. We have around 500,000 license holders. The task is raising the floor, not chasing raw numbers. Priorities are to clean up training, strengthen vetting and business licensing, and evidence competence beyond the bare minimums. When the public sees an SIA badge, I want them to know they can approach that person for help and get it. Interoperability, not islands, control rooms with thousands of cameras can't be monitored by human eyes alone. We need AI-enabled detection feeding officers who are trained to act. This must all be within a single, rehearsed plan that spans venue operations, street environment, and policing. One plan, where prevention and response are designed together. Educated buying, specify outcomes, not hours. If you procure security solely on unit cost, you will get box ticking. If you procure for public safety outcomes, i.e. prevention metrics, near-miss capture, joint exercises, evidence quality, you will drive the behavior this industry needs. The three priorities I'm asking everyone to adopt are public safety, collaboration, and interoperability. Make them practical. Ensure we coordinate under a single industry voice, raise standards and training, and consider people, tech, and procedures as one. That is how we will deliver safer communities for the public. In brief, public safety first. Align regulation, SIA, under the security minister, with Martin's law duties, so the SIA badge stands for trusted help and safer public spaces. Collaboration with one voice. Compete commercially, but present a single sector voice to government and policing. Interoperability over islands. Bring together people, meet technology and venue procedures into one rehearsed plan with law enforcement, rather than working in four silos, to ensure a consistent and aligned response should there be an incident. The data story. Mighty surveyed 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. They shared the following insights. 35% said lack of specialized skills or certifications was the biggest challenge in hiring qualified security professionals. 53% haven't collaborated with industry peers and associations to share best practices and insights in the last 12 months. The facts. In April 2025, a refresher qualification became an SIA requirement before you can renew your door supervisor or security guard license to ensure better public safety. In September 2025, there are 737 SIA-approved contractors in the UK, a decrease of 3% from September 2024, 762. 2. Legislative change. The next 12 months will see organisations be held accountable. Those that are proactive will reap the benefits. With new security legislation coming into effect, organisations no longer have a choice about how much resource they should allocate to preparation. Now the onus is on demonstrating proof of proactive compliance. Martin's Law is now on the statute book, with regulator and Home Office guidance being finalised and a phased implementation in place. The Worker Protection Act, WPA, changes mean employers must show reasonable, anticipatory steps on harassment. And national security guidance asks the private security industry to test who we work for and why. The next 12 to 24 months are about demonstrating how you are preparing for and are adhering to the legislation. What's changed? And why does it matter? We're already seeing management boards of organizations start to ask a different question about their security provisions. Not, do we have a policy? But can we evidence what we do, who owns it, and whether it works? For Martin's Law, that means proportionate procedures, regularly reviewed, exercised, and recorded. For the WPA, it means treating unwanted behavior, including from third parties where relevant, as a live safety risk. And for laws regarding state threats, it means applying clear and well-managed checks so security teams don't unintentionally help criminals or nation-state actors. The common thread is accountability you can demonstrate. Starting with the Worker Protection Act, what do organizations need to think about and action now? Evidence beats assertion. Reasonable steps and proportionate measures aren't tick boxes. They're a defensible program in court. Start with a risk assessment, add targeted training and scenarios, and keep a dated audit trail showing decisions, actions, and retests. Regulators don't expect perfection. They expect progress you can prove. Don't mark your own homework. Bring in independent consultation on complex security legislation like violence against women and girls, the nighttime economy, public-facing venues, or complex estates. A short external stress test does two jobs. It improves outcomes and gives your board, and if needed, a tribunal, confidence that your approach stands up. Join up HR and security. Too many organizations separate people issues from security risk. Patterns in grievances, exit interviews, and incident logs, handled lawfully and purpose-limited, are protective intelligence. Share them with safeguarding and security teams so you can prevent harm rather than just respond. Expect reporting to rise first. When you launch new channels, training, or personal safety tools like WalkSafe, incident reporting should also go up. Treat that as a culture KPI. What matters is what you do next. Support for individuals, timely investigations, resolution of incidents, and learning loops. Upskill the front line. Your officers, hosts, and supervisors need to be able to recognize behaviors linked to harassment and know exactly how to escalate. That training protects people and gives you actionable evidence when things go wrong. Security laws have moved from coming soon to prove it. Your best defense is a clear evidence trail of proactive steps across HR, legal, and security, not a policy on a shelf. And for Martin's Law, what are the key actions organizations must consider and start taking? Act early for maximum preparedness. Use the current guidance from the Home Office as a starting point and review your existing procedures now to spot gaps and take action. This will give you time to test and adjust before the end of the implementation phase, which will likely not be before April 2027. Stay up to date on progress, either by partnering with an independent expert or dedicating your own resource. It's important to stay close to the progress and any future changes in guidance to be sure you aren't caught out when the implementation phase is over. Clearly define expectations. Make sure your on-site teams know what is expected of them and provide training when and where appropriate. A good place to start is the Action Counter-Terrorism training provided by UK government. Align from top to bottom. Martin's Law will have a major financial implications for organizations that don't comply, so it's vital that everyone understands what is needed from the top down. In terms of the National Security Act, recent guidance underpins the fact that security professionals may be attractive to state actors looking to undertake malign activity in the UK, and you may be at risk of committing an offence under new legislation. We can all help to harden our society against state threats. Be vigilant. Have an awareness of state threats activity and the signs you can look out for. Due diligence. You should establish who your client is and whether they are part of a foreign power. Spread the word. Tell those who work across the sector about the legislation and how to comply. The real test for this coming year is the day-to-day experience of staff and visitors. Build proportionate measures, clear accountability, and a visible evidence trail. You'll not only remain compliant, but deliver safer outcomes and more resilient operations. In brief, Martin's Law is now an act. Tiered duties apply to premises events hosting more than 200 people, with the SIA as regulator and significant penalties for non-compliance. Worker Protection Act is live. Employers must take reasonable steps, anticipatory, risk-based, as of 26 Oct 2024, to prevent sexual harassment. Tribunals can increase compensation by up to 25% if you fall short. National security has tightened. New guidance under the National Security Act raises due diligence expectations on employees, such as verifying the authenticity of a potential client, echoing the 2025 UK National Security Strategy's Security at Home pillar. The data story. Mighty surveyed 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. They shared the following insights. 30% said they needed more clarity and guidance around the Worker Protection Act. 26% of respondents said they did not know anything about Martin's Law. The facts. In a government crime survey, a quarter, 26%, of those who had experienced sexual harassment said they had experienced harassment at their place of work. March 2017, April 2025. Counter-terrorism policing assesses that there have been 15 domestic terror attacks in the UK, not including Northern Ireland-related terrorism, and security services and law enforcement have together disrupted 43 late-stage plots. 3. Violence against women and girls. Progress on VAWG will be defined by incident reporting and collective action. Despite recent legislative progress, such as the Crime and Policing Bill in July 2025, making it illegal to depict any act of strangulation within pornography, the UK still has a long way to go in order to meet its commitment of halving violence against women and girls within a decade. Refuge, the largest specialist domestic abuse organisation in the UK, reports a 9% rise in strangulation of women and girls aged 16 to 25 from the previous year, suggesting that the problem is worsening, not improving. On the one hand, public awareness of VAWG is rising. In March 2025, Netflix's award-winning Adolescence gave many parents a chilling wake-up call. A week later, Sir Gareth Southgate's Richard Dimbleby lecture kept the issue of toxic masculinity and unhealthy online habits in the spotlight. Yet, on the other hand, increasing polarization across the mainstream and social media landscape threatens to drown out these warnings. In fact, a recent Ipsos UK survey found that over half, 51% of respondents, think VAG levels are actually increasing. Cuts to public funding are an obvious issue. Another is the lack of alignment between stakeholder groups, such as business improvement districts, BIDs, policing, councils, and private organizations. The result is a postcode lottery of safety initiatives, with some communities better served than others, while marginalized groups risk being further left behind. Right now, too much goes unreported. That means we can't see the full scale of the problem or tackle it effectively. And let's be clear, there is no such thing as low-level data. Given that perpetrators often start small before escalating their behaviors, every incident matters and should be documented. Sharing this information with existing databases, such as policing, private security, and organizations' own data, enables earlier interventions and safer outcomes. This burden shouldn't be left solely to women. More men, whether witnesses, colleagues, or community members, must take action and share the responsibility for change. Organizations will have to step up. With the introduction of the Worker Protection Act in 2024, and with public funding stretched, private sector leaders must do more to prioritize safety, not just at work, but on commutes and at events. Those who do so will not only see indirect benefits, such as better retention rates or a happier workforce. These actions will have a ripple effect across society, shaping attitudes and expectations beyond the office. The next 12 months will require a more coordinated and sustained approach. Councils, policing, BIDs, charities, and private sector organizations will be expected to lead the charge. But as individuals, we have a responsibility to do better and help deliver meaningful progress. In brief, rise in reporting. Expect a stronger focus on capturing every incident and sharing the information with existing databases to help enable earlier interventions and safer outcomes. Organizations will need to step up. Amid public funding cuts, organizations will need to do more to protect employees beyond the workplace, such as when commuting or attending corporate events. Calls for more joined-up thinking. Stakeholder groups, such as councils, policing, charities, and businesses, will need to work together to deliver more coordinated, nationwide safety initiatives. The data story. Mitie surveyed 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. They shared the following insights. 28% of respondents said female colleagues have requested additional safety measures or support in the last 12 months. 25% said assault or violence against employees was the most frequently experienced incident in the past 12 months. The facts. 69% of people felt safe travelling on the British Transport Police network, up from 64% in 2024. Reports of violence against women and girls increased by 5% in 2024-2025 compared with 2023-2024. 4. Rising extremism. The tempo and complexity of extremism has evolved. Security has to collaborate and act fast to combat it. The threat picture has broadened significantly over the last decade. The current landscape is an overlapping mix of terrorist and extremist activity, organized crime and hostile state activity. Meanwhile, social media can rapidly turn local flashpoints into national flare-ups, and geopolitical conflict can manifest in tensions in our country and within local communities. Most protests are lawful, and they are fundamental to our way of life, but the operational reality is delicate. Policing resources are stretched, tensions are high, and a single clip online can escalate faster than our ability to police it. When it comes to homeland security, we have consciously shifted from a terrorism-only frame to tackle a wider range of threats, including economic crime and hostile state threats. Invariably, we find we need a whole-of-society approach to solve these challenges. We need government, police, businesses, and communities pulling together because of the deep-rooted and pervasive nature of these threats. That means drawing on local expertise, building durable partnerships, and coupling proportionate legislation and regulation with frontline operational know-how and tech capabilities. I see world-class innovation across the UK that can help police protect venues and strengthen borders. Our security sector is a global export success story, and that capability matters domestically as much as it does for UK PLC. Despite the challenges, there is significant positive progress. Clearer duties, e.g. Martin's Law risk assessments, and new levers, the Online Safety Act strengthening Ofcom's hand on disinformation and misinformation, are raising standards and accountability. These powers and frameworks give us the platform we need for frontline partners to do their jobs. But there are limits to what legislative tools and technological solutions can do for us in the fight against these threats. The whole-of-society approach only works if we win the hearts and minds of those in our communities. What story are we telling those whose support we need? That's where our values as a liberal democracy, built on equality and fundamental freedoms, is crucial in combating those who want to undermine those very freedoms. Making the case for businesses to be aware of commercial espionage and parents to understand radicalization and country lines requires leaders with emotional intelligence and an understanding of how the global intertwines with the local. It's a big ask. In brief, polarization meets geopolitics. Protests and flashpoints will likely test organizations' readiness and messaging. Smarter compliance, smarter tech, Martin's Law prep and Online Safety Act awareness paired with UK innovation will help accelerate decisions and action. The data story. MITIE surveyed 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. They shared the following insights. 41% believe geopolitical tensions and conflicts is the cause of increased physical security threats to their organization in the past 12 months. 32% say the rapidly evolving nature of security threats is their main barrier to managing physical security. The facts. In the year ending March 2024, there was a 25% increase in religious hate crime. In the year ending 30th June 2025, there were 234 arrests for terrorist-related activity in Great Britain. 5. Next-gen threats. Organizations will need to adopt a new risk management playbook to get ahead of next-gen security threats. While emerging tech and AI are often hailed as the solution to a range of operational challenges, what's less discussed is how these technologies are changing the threat landscape, or how we can mitigate against the risks these technologies themselves present. From AI-driven disinformation and cyber-enabled physical attacks to 3D-printed weaponry and autonomous drone incursions, organizations will need to embed new practices into their existing processes and empower younger, digitally native generations to rethink security from the ground up. The next-gen threat landscape is complex and fast-moving. The line between cyber and physical threats is blurred, leaving organizations exposed on multiple fronts. A single cyber attack could disable physical security controls, and coupled with AI-generated deepfakes or fake news, could incite real-world physical unrest. The Southport tragedy and the unrest that followed is a chilling example of the effects of rapidly spreading disinformation. Autonomous drone incursions are another example of how threats are evolving. Future attacks will be scheduled, programmed and deployed remotely, making them both faceless and increasingly sophisticated. Criminals using these techniques are only going to get more intuitive and devious. Organizations need a new risk management playbook with diversity and inclusivity at its heart. It should hold insights gathered from different voices throughout the organization, not just those who have traditionally made decisions. In particular, I think the Gen Z workforce will add a lot of value. So, what are the key characteristics of this new playbook? Cross-domain thinking. Next-gen threats aren't just for IT or security teams to manage. Everyone has a part to play, whether they're in HR, recruitment, marketing, sales, procurement, or something else. Build this culture of resilience by weaving security messages into training, company meetings, and internal comms. Cross-domain information sharing. Share insights beyond security teams. For example, a report on violence against women and girls, BAD, informs risk policies and also recruitment and retention strategies, such as whether Gen Z workers are more engaged with employers who publicly champion safety initiatives. Continuous skills development. Blend traditional security expertise with modern tech literacy. Upskill leaders through education from tech specialists, for example, drone hobbyists coming into the workplace and explaining the practicalities of landing a drone on a roof. Similarly, beat the echo chamber by creating regular forums where Gen Z employees share next-gen threat insights directly with senior leadership. Scenario-based exercises. Push the boundaries of exercises with next-gen threat scenarios. For instance, drop a hypothetical drone incursion into a crowd control exercise, or empower Gen Z employees to design attack simulations that challenge leadership assumptions and typical exercises. Adaptive risk frameworks. Any good security professional will say that your risk frameworks need to be constantly updated. That's nothing new, but there's now a need to go further. It's imperative to start stress testing them with unknown and what-if-like threats in order to learn what really works and what doesn't from a security standpoint. Resilience is built on people. In the next 12 months, the organizations that thrive won't just buy the latest tools. They'll invest in skills, talent, and partnerships. The next-gen risk management playbook isn't about predicting every threat. It's about building the adaptability and culture to face whatever comes next. In brief, next-gen threats will further converge. From AI-driven disinformation to autonomous machines, the blurred line between cyber and physical threats will expand, leaving organizations exposed on multiple fronts. Gen Z voices, born 1997 to 2012, will be vital. Tackling next-gen threats requires fresh thinking from different voices, not least younger, digitally native generations who understand modern technologies and can see how they could be turned against us. Risk frameworks will need to be challenged more. Not only will risk frameworks need to be continuously updated with what's new, but they'll also need to be agile for unknown and what-if threats to enhance preparedness. The data story. Mighty surveyed 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. They shared the following insights. 27% identified a lack of in-house technical skills and expertise as the biggest barrier for deploying new security technology. 31% said cyber attack was the most significant security threat to their organization in the next 12 to 24 months. The facts. In January 2024, the World Economic Forum labeled disinformation as the biggest short-term risk globally due to its perceived potential to undermine democratic elections, promote unrest, and increase censorship through counter-disinformation. During 2023, over 6,000 incidents involving drones were reported to police. Approximately 11% constituted offences. 6. Technology and AI. This is the year of technology evolution, not revolution. The formula for security tech success will be adopting tools that deliver true business value, not just the latest innovation. Last year, we advised to get moving with new technology to protect your organization and be sure you don't get left behind. We were proved right. Steady AI adoption nudged security from reactive to predictive. Fewer false alarms, earlier detection, faster investigations, and lower operating expenses. Now the conversation shifts from what tech do we need to how can that technology drive more effective and efficient security? Organizations need to be smart. Both the private sector and policing need clear use cases and measurable KPIs. That means pairing real-world goals with performance metrics: incident reduction, time to evidence, false alarm rates, operator productivity, and trust metrics, transparency, auditability, to make sure investment is working. And yes, this requires an understanding of which technologies are actually worth the investment. There are thousands of AI tools promising the earth. It's a bit of a wild west. The antidote is partnering with people who cut through the noise, bring the right big tech links and proven deployments, and help you test before you scale. The tech challenge varies by estate. Greenfield control rooms can be stacked with automation from day one. AI-enabled video, smart sensors, integrated platforms to monitor better and prepare evidence faster. Legacy sites, especially in the UK, where outdated systems are rife, face trickier retrofits. But the answer isn't rip and replace. It's continuous improvement with thought-out weather, sequenced upgrades that avoid costly rework and keep services running. Of course, AI is stealing all the headlines, and it is already paying off to those embracing it and pairing investment with results. It's helping automate manual checks, correlating large data sets across sensors and systems, speeding operator decisions, containing incidents quicker, and testing virtual scenarios with predictive analytics and digital twins. It's helping drive down false alarms and operating costs. As adoption ramps up, we expect early generative AI pilots in control rooms. For example, natural language queries and assistants that help collate evidence. There are plenty of challenges alongside that promise, but don't let the headwinds stall you. Ethics, safety, trust, and evolving legislation become powerful enablers when handled well, and much of that comes down to training. With AI, there's a steep learning curve for security professionals, so those organizations that truly understand the technology and its application will be best placed to upskill their teams. Long story short, there won't be an AI big bang. This year and beyond, it's all about steady progress and evolution. The technology conversation is not all about AI. The rest of your tech stack, including remote diagnostics tools, cloud and software as a service platforms, security reporting platforms, building management systems, BMS, and the wider property tech stack, improves uptime and reduces lifecycle cost. The combined impact is more than the sum of its parts. When access control, CCTV, fire, HVAC, lighting and lifts talk to each other, operators get a calmer, clearer workspace, fewer surprises, fewer engineer callouts, more days where everything just works. In summary, the next 12 months will reward organizations that adopt technologies delivering meaningful business value, not just noise. In brief, from AI hype to proof, security leaders will rely on real-world cases and their outcomes to inform ways to reduce risks. Solutions will include upgrading systems, setting clear goals, and working with trusted partners. The next frontier: AI is already cutting false alarms, speeding up investigations, and reducing operating expenses. The next evolution will see generative AI in control rooms, alongside natural language queries, AI assistants, and smarter incident triage. Finding the balance. Change will be steady and incremental. Success hinges on a perfect blend of technology and skilled workers, as well as a commitment to upskilling your people and ensuring true human-tech collaboration. The data story. Mitie surveyed 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. They shared the following insights. 24% stated they were planning to introduce automated security drones within the next 12 months. 50% of respondents said advanced security technology and tools was most important to their organization to stay a step ahead of security threats in the next 12 months. The facts: the MPCC is requesting approximately £220 million in annual funding over the next 3 years to support technology deployment. Advanced AI solutions are already supporting retailers reduce theft at self-checkouts, with the most advanced claiming fraud detection rates as high as 99%. 7. Integrating private security and law enforcement. Coordinated information sharing will enable more effective police deployment and real consequences for crime. The Pegasus Partnership is a collaboration between retailers and policing to tackle shop theft through improved information sharing. It enables law enforcement to deploy resources where they are needed most. In its first year of operation, The initiative saw 148 arrests and a 50% reduction in offending from organized crime groups. This demonstrates that when private security works alongside policing, prolific offenders can be brought to justice at pace. The next year is about scaling that blueprint into a more unified, everyday model of public safety. The gap between law enforcement and private security has been closing for some time now. Thanks to initiatives like the Police Retail Crime Action Plan in 2023 and the Government Crime Action Plan in October 2023, underpinned by the Pegasus Partnership, integration is improving across the board. It's not perfect. Policing remains largely tactical, and while the first phase of the government's £200 million investment to boost neighbourhood policing has been delivered, progress is yet to be felt on the ground. But the launch of the Tackling Retail Crime Together retail crime strategy, alongside Minister of State for Crime, Policing and Fire, Dame Diana Johnson, shows a positive direction of travel. The most important shift in the new strategy is moving from ad hoc information sharing to always-on collaboration. This takes form in what the strategy calls a fusion cell. This fusion cell is hosted by law enforcement and provides an endpoint for all intelligence relating to retail crime. It enables aggregated data to be fused and used to inform enforcement activity by agencies, including police and trading standards. Crucially, this approach is inclusive by design. While organizations compete commercially, the model allows them to collaborate against common offenders while sharing only criminal activity data, not consumer data. The transport sector shows what good looks like. Rail has one national police partner, so it's easier to agree hotspots, plan patrols, and follow through. I expect that model to spread. In business districts, shopping centers, and leisure venues, the goal is to organize locally, so we speak to police as one group, not dozens of separate sites. Organizations could look to better utilize business crime reduction partnerships, BCRPs, who work with police and the local authority to tackle and reduce crime and disorder affecting businesses and the wider community. Remember that evidence is what secures police time. Anecdotes and hearsay aren't enough. Usable evidence is. The bar is simple. Could the police act on the information provided without having to ring the location for more information? That requires labeled video clips, short notes, clear timelines, and statements. When every incident is arrest ready and provided in a timely manner, arrests, charges, and sentencing follow. Beyond retail, sectors like finance and professional services face organized protest and disruption. Responses can be inconsistent if each building acts alone. The fix is to convene local groups that bring property, security, legal, and comms together with police on a regular cadence. One organized forum with agreed priorities and escalation routes will always beat many uncoordinated requests. Perhaps the biggest change is cultural. Collaboration is now required between retailers, landlords, center managers, transport operators, technology providers, policing, and private security providers. To keep these stakeholders aligned, it's important to agree what data is shared, how privacy is protected, and to use neutral, interoperable systems so everyone can contribute. That's how collaboration stops being a project and becomes part of how we keep communities safe. What organizations should do now? Plug into the feeds. Ensure your incident platform can export structured data, ideally via API, into local or sector fusion arrangements. Ensure it works to commonly agreed standards and be clear on what you'll share, what you won't, and who signs it off. Make incidents arrest ready. Audit CCTV, digital evidence, and statement workflows against the Act Today test. Train and quality assure to that standard, ensuring you have the right skill sets in the building to provide evidence-ready packages. Convene your patch. In business districts, retail parks, and mixed-use sites, set up a working group if there isn't one to collaborate and present information to police as one, rather than going to the police individually or ad hoc. If a group exists, join it and help make it more effective. Focus on the right interventions. To see real change, we need to break the cycle of offending. Look into civil remedies and support that aims to rehabilitate offenders, as this may prove more effective than prison time for some prolific offenders. Measure consequence, not clicks. Track arrests, charges, and sentencing weeks alongside incidents and shrink. Focus effort where collaboration changes outcomes. The bottom line? The next 12 months is the time integration becomes infrastructure. Organizations that share clean data, present ready-to-use evidence, and act as conveners, not just customers, will see the biggest gains in visible policing and real consequences for crime. In brief, unified approach to data sharing, always-on fusion cells, a new model whereby retailer knowledge is shared with law enforcement, will help the police target criminals more efficiently. Evidence-led consequence, having easily accessible evidence, such as arrest-ready case files, labeled video, statements, timelines, will give police more time to focus on arrests, charges, and sentencing. One voice to policing. Collaboration between sectors or local areas is a must to present to law enforcement as a unified front, not dozens of individuals. The data story. Mighty surveyed 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025. They shared the following insights. 60% of respondents said they have seen more collaboration between the private and public sector on security issues in the last 18 months. 41% listed collaborating with police and other governing bodies as a step they are taking to improve resilience against physical. The facts. Since 1st of May 2024, work by the OPAL Organised Retail Crime Team has delivered total custodial sentences for all offenders of over 39 years, highlighting the power of collaboration. As part of the government's Safer Streets mission, the target is restore neighbourhood policing by delivering 13,000 additional neighbourhood officers and PCSOs across England and Wales by 2029. The time for action. Being reactive is not enough. Organisations must act. Mighty's Security Radar 2025 highlights, through 7 key priorities, that the UK security landscape has changed and will continue to change at rapid pace. For organisations, it is a business imperative that they understand how these changes impact them, their colleagues, and their community. Now is the time for action, working together to enable safer communities in which everyone can thrive. Based on a Mighty survey of 100 senior security decision makers in the UK in August 2025, get in touch. Through intelligence, technology, and people, Mighty are committed to enabling safer communities. If you would like to discuss how our solutions can support your organization, or talk in more detail about any of the topics covered in the Security Radar 2025, complete the form, and we'll be in touch soon.